Wing TV, with Victor Thorne and Lisa Giuliani. The revolution is being televised.
Hello, it's Monday, October 17th, and you're watching Wing TV. I'm Lisa Giuliani.
And I'm Victor Thorne. Welcome to Wing TV. We hope everyone had a good weekend. We couldn't wait to get back here. We have some good news. This new system we've set up here where we do alternations between the TV show and then also just a radio version of this show seems to be working out well, doesn't it?
Mm-hmm.
We've been getting a lot less complaints, and it doesn't seem to be bogging out as much.
So far.
Yeah. So what we're doing is every Monday, we're going to have this show and keep it up until Friday, and then the Friday show is going to be up until Monday. So if you get on the site and want to watch today's show and it bogs down a little bit, you still have three more days
right.
to watch
and in
it.
The interim, we'll have audio MP3s on Tuesdays, Wednesdays, and Thursdays.
Right, so those will be more like a radio show. Also, tomorrow morning, that's Tuesday morning, 9 o'clock a.m., Eastern Time, we're going to appear on Frank Whalen's Frankly Speaking radio show. You can simply log on to that. Go to the Wing TV homepage to the right-hand column. Go down a little bit. You'll see that.
Link I guess we should also mention that Alex Merklinger did not do a live mm-hmm. show last Friday, and so we weren't on there. He let us know Friday evening. So he ran, I guess, a pre-recorded
right.
show. So if you didn't hear us, that's why.
Yeah. Also, we have very good news. When we came out here on our show last Friday, and we challenged everybody watching this show, we made a challenge that if there's even one person who supports Hillary Clinton, we want that person to contact us.
By all means.
And guess what? Zero.
We're still waiting.
Still waiting. So as far as we know right now, the total tally of people who support Hillary Clinton in America is zero.
There's the insane guy that we know.
That's right, the one insane guy. So let's try to keep it that way. Now, let's get into some news that's occurring this morning. As everyone, I hope, knows, because this is very vital information, the new bankruptcy laws mm-hmm. are being enacted today. Now, these were passed a few months ago, and what this means is that it's going to be more expensive to file for bankruptcy right now. There's going to be a ton more paperwork to do, plus everyone that files for bankruptcy is going to have to pay back more money on the debts that before they could have got out of.
Starting today, people filing for bankruptcy are going to have to pass this means test, or
right.
take this thing called a means test, which will ascertain if you have the ability and the income to pay some or all of your debt back instead of just getting your debt wiped away with previous mm-hmm. bankruptcy protection laws.
Yeah, and what this means law really connotes is that, what's two things? First of all, people, when they go in to file for bankruptcy, are going to have to bring their paycheck stubs. They're going to have to bring their income tax forms. So if they want to stay below a certain level, guess what these people are going to start doing? First, they're going to start cheating on their income tax to keep themselves below the level. And secondly, it's going to promote an underground economy. People are going to start doing things off the books. They're not going to report certain income. So what this is doing basically is just creating another chaotic situation. And the last thing people are going to have to do if they file is go into something called credit counseling,
uh-huh.
which they're going to have to pay for. It's kind of like if you get busted for drunken driving. You have to go to these drunken driving courses, and the cost of them is very exorbitant.
Right. So now you can't afford to pay your old debt, which is why you're filing for bankruptcy in the first place. Now they slap a new fee
yeah.
on you to pay for this counseling.
Plus,
and
yeah.
also, did you
yeah.
know that the vast majority of bankruptcy filers fall under that Chapter 7?
Mm-hmm.
And in 2004, nearly 72% of the more than 1.5 million non-business filings for bankruptcy protection fell under that.
Yeah, so you're going to have to pay back more money. You're going to have to pay for counseling classes. The government is either directly or indirectly forcing you now to start cheating on your income taxes. Isn't this just another great development for America?
And just so you know, despite what Bush says that the economy's doing so well and we're all doing so great, filing skyrocketed.
Oh, yeah.
Topping more than 3,000% in many big cities, and even more than that in smaller cities over the past year. So
yeah.
it's, like, incredible.
And you know who ultimately wins? The credit card companies and the banks, which own the credit card companies.
Yeah.
They're the winners. And all of you out there and all of us here, we're the losers.
But just so you know that some people are still doing rather well, Dick Cheney's stock options increased 3,281% since October of 2004. Now, the options were originally worth $241.498. Now they're worth $8 million. So see, we're not all doing poorly.
Do you think he'll be standing in one of those bankruptcy lines?
No.
I don't think so. Now, here's something I heard on the mainstream radio this morning. They're talking again about the bird flu. And they're talking to some spokesman from the World Health Organization or the UN, one of these globalist groups.
Mm-hmm.
And here's the quote they said, is that all the countries of the world need to come together and cooperate. Now, mm-hmm. on the surface, that sounds very good. But when you peel back the layers, can't you see that this is just another New World Order mantra where it just has overtones of throwing away our national sovereignty, throwing away everything that we hold to be true so that we can sell out or surrender to this new world order.
Yeah, let's all jump on that bandwagon.
Right. So they're going to be using this.
Yeah. GM.
Yeah. Big
GM
announcement this
morning.
GM
is making some major changes.
Right.
They plan on closing additional assembly and component plants. Mm-hmm. They are further reducing executives' salaries and contract employees' wages. They plan to do further reductions in structural costs and materials costs despite higher commodity costs and troubled supplier situations.
Mm-hmm.
And I guess they're also going to be messing with health care.
Right. Yeah, their CEO came out this morning, Rick Wagoner, and he says what they're essentially going to do is restructure the entire company. And this is going to cut into their pensions, into their health care, into the benefits, and so forth.
Right. They're saying no salary increases, no bonuses, no enhanced variable pay for 2005. So basically, they're going down to bare bones just to stay viable.
Well, and it wouldn't be surprising if in another year or two, the same gentleman comes out and says, we're done, we're closing mm-hmm. up shop, we're moving everything to China, because that's what they've been doing over the past decade already. And there's an old saying that's been around ever since they started making cars in this country. And the saying is, as GM goes, so goes America.
Right.
What message is this saying or sending to America? This is the direction we're heading. This is creeping socialism in that the wages and the standard of living in this country keeps going down. And while we outsource all this work, both blue-collar and white-collar, to other countries, they're slowly coming this way. It's a creeping socialism where at some point, just the whole world gets evened out, except, of course, the people
right.
at the top
couple
that
more
have.
Points. Couple more points about GM. They're planning on cutting 25,000 or more jobs, and their U.S. salaried employee headcount has been reduced 30% in the last 5 years.
Yeah. Now, GM, as everyone knows, is a manufacturing company.
Mm-hmm.
For decades, they were the largest employer in the United States of America. No longer. Now, it's Walmart. So we go from a manufacturing-based economy to a service economy. We've told countless horror stories about Walmart on this show.
Right. And now we're seeing, even here in State College, Walmart
yeah.
from sea to shining sea. Oh,
we have two Walmarts here. Two mega Walmarts.
They might as well connect them, you know?
Yeah.
Like, they're at either end of the city. They might as well just connect them.
Yeah,
that's how long they are.
They're so big that, yeah, they can almost connect across. And then, at the end of the one Super Walmart, then they have a Sam's Club there. So it's almost as if, like, if you stand at one end, as far as the eye can see, it's all this Walmart,
yeah.
this megalopolis. It's,
Walmart,
it's unbelievable.
Walmart USA.
Yeah. One last thing we have to touch upon. And this is, it just shows how easily this society is manipulated, is they call them the race riots that happened over the weekend in Toledo, Ohio. And it just boggles my mind that people keep falling for this kind of crap.
Well, I guess the locals in LaGrange, which is in Toledo,
mm-hmm.
Ohio, got very angry with the police there because the police seemed to be protecting the Nazis, or that was the perception, whether they were or not. They allowed a neo-Nazi march in that community, and maybe that wasn't the wisest decision, considering how it incited.
But see, that everybody has a right
yeah.
to assemble in this country. The Nazis approached this community, They put in a request. They received a permit. Now, everything is fine and good there. Of course, we don't support Nazis. But they have a right, just like any other group does, just like we do when we went to Ground Zero.
There's a gang mentality, I guess, going on there. And
well, this way, what led to all this, though, the trouble, was that the talk radio show hosts
were fanning the flames.
Were for about 10 days, up until the day of the protest or the rally, they were fanning the flames. The Nazis are coming to Toledo. And they kept on, they would bring the Nazis on there, and they would spew this rhetoric, and it just had people burning with rage. So there was only, I think, like 12 or 14 Nazis. And they didn't do it right in downtown Toledo. It was like a suburb.
Doesn't it make you wonder, though, why neo-Nazis from Roanoke, Virginia, would want to travel all the way to LaGrange, Ohio?
Well, I'll tell you why. Here's what happened is that one, it only takes one person in these Nazis to be a sellout on the government side. And then when all these gangbangers came in afterwards and they started setting cars on fire, breaking into stores, looting, throwing rocks through windows and basically creating mayhem, it only takes one gangbanger to be the instigator. We saw that up at Ground Zero, right?
Yeah.
When Paul Isaac was up there. So, say you have a gangbanger that got busted for murder, or he was selling drugs or whatever. He's going to be facing life in prison or a long stretch, and the government comes up, or one of these, you know, operative groups, and says, hey, what if we let you out early, but here's what we want from you. And so you have the Nazis, you have one sellout, they create the mayhem. You have one gangbanger that starts rioting, and then you have this mob mentality, they follow afterwards, and pretty soon you have mayhem across the entire city. That's what happened out there. And it's another divide and conquer.
Controlled chaos.
Controlled chaos. And as somebody emailed me and said, isn't it funny that they bring the Nazis out right when they're on the verge of voting on this hate law?
Yes.
This hate law that says anyone that speaks bad about Israel or Zionism or anything like that can be arrested and their rights to free speech taken away. Now they drag out the Nazis and look what happens. So then when they take this bill to the Senate, someone's going to stand up and say, look what those Nazis did in Toledo.
Well, now they'll have a fresh example to cite from.
Yeah, and then they pass the quote-unquote hate bill, and look, another just chipping away at our Constitution. Isn't it easy to see how all this works? Yet if you watch TV or you listen to mainstream radio, you don't get this perspective from them, do you?
No, and now we see another city in America under curfew.
Mm-hmm.
Which,
yeah.
I guess it's good practice, huh?
Well, what the mainstream does is they report this story or present this story as if it just happened, as if there was nothing behind it. You know, none of the behind-the-scenes machinations. And as we're explaining to you right now, there's so many other things going on,
but
they don't show that.
Right before we got ready to do our show, Bill O'Reilly was spouting his poison about these race riots, these Toledo riots, that I guess they want to label race riots.
Well, and to show O'Reilly's perspective, he said, just don't let them come into town at all. So he basically looks at the Constitution and says, the hell with the Constitution. I don't say that. It's like,
aren't we glad O'Reilly's not the president?
Oh, my God. Well, you got to look at a lot of people. A lot of people that present themselves to the public. And I've always had one thing in mind is just think if this person had unbridled power. How would the world be?
Mm-hmm.
So you start looking at these people and you think, wow, if they're this way right now just on the radio, how would they be in a position of power? Well, a good answer to that is right there.
Yeah.
Animal Farm. And what me and Lisa did over the weekend is we reread this book. And, you know, I'd read it years ago, had a big impact on me then. But where did I get this at? I picked it up. I don't know if it was at a
used bookstore or something.
And I was like, man, I got to read this book again.
This book came out in 1945. Yeah. I guess George Orwell had it on the burner for about 6 years before that. And if you haven't read it, or if it's been a really long time since you read it, you might want to read it again, because I guarantee you'll have deeper insights the second time around.
Yeah, I wouldn't even say might want to. I would say want to.
This is a blueprint.
Yeah, this is right now a blueprint for not only New World Order style tyranny, but also the human condition. And if you read the article on the Wing TV homepage, I have a little summary of just the opening few pages of Animal Farm, where Orwell addresses the human condition.
Right. He was very, very concerned about the ongoing battle of the exploitation of the weak by the strong. Mm-hmm. And he lays it out so clearly in this book. It's incredible. I would love to be able to send a copy to every American.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, if you haven't read this book since high school or since college, go to your local bookstore. You know, pick it up for 50 cents at the used bookstore.
Right.
Take it home, and it's mind-boggling.
It's not even a question of could this happen again, but do we realize that this is happening all around us every day?
Well, he's, like Lisa said, this is the blueprint. He spelled out the way that the powerful exploit the weak. And then in the intro, he says, and this is one of the animals speaking, a prized boar named Major, and he says that, at least in relation to the animals, man is the enemy. Well, you have to realize this is a political allegory, so everything is a symbol. So man, when the animals talk about man, in reality what Orwell's talking about is the international bankers. They're the true enemy of us, of mankind. And another point he brings up that's so vital, especially in this alternative media, is he says that we can't become what we're fighting against.
Exactly. And how this applies to all political revolutions is that after a revolution and the political, the public acclaim is done with, there's always political maneuvering that some power group will seek to reclaim power over the public again. So be wary of the political maneuvering, not just of the politicians, but also you can see people like Bill O'Reilly and his ilk doing the same type of tactics.
And you can see people even in the alternative media. They'll come out and they'll say, we're against censorship by the government and the mainstream media. And then people like Alex Jones go out and start censoring.
Right.
They're, you know, and on they say, we're against them selling out, but then they'll sell out the Gray family. And on and on and
yeah,
on.
Yeah, we have to be an alert, informed, and aware, and wary electorate. We have to always be thinking, we have to always be paying attention, because if we're not, then the more easily even enlightened people in democratic countries and societies can be propagandized.
Right. And ultimately, the animals get so sick and tired of the tyranny that's being waged against them or placed over them that they finally say there's only one solution. Orwell calls it rebellion. We call it revolution. Uh-huh. That's the only way out. And this is something that I was talking to Lisa about over the weekend, and I also mentioned it to somebody else last week. I said, what if there was a document released straight from the White House or the Pentagon or whatever, that was verifiable proof that this cabal within the White House that we always refer to, or in our government, was actually behind. They planned, coordinated, and executed 9/11. Mm-hmm. It was out there for everybody to see. Even the mainstream media had to report on it. They said X, Y, and Z of the government were the main architects of 9/11, not Al-Qaeda. The president had to come on, the vice president had to come on TV and said, we were the ones that did it. So I mentioned this whole scenario to somebody, and I said, what would you think then? And this person said, if that ever happened, there's only one solution. We'd have to have a revolution against the government. And I'm asking you right now is, if this scenario happened, would America have the stomach to actually say we have to now overthrow this cabal within our government? What do you think?
I think we need a total paradigm shift first before we can even contemplate that seriously. But even if there were a revolution, and I hope someday there actually is one.
Sooner, better than later.
You have to be careful not to exchange one form of repression for another. Because in this book by Orwell, the animals on the farm just changed masters. You know, they never escaped, really, the tyranny that they were hoping to escape by having their initial rebellion. They just changed the identity of the masters, and at the end of the book, even that was only partially changed because they couldn't tell, you know, which was which, pig or human.
Right. It's like I wrote in an article last week that a lot of people that go from being adherents of the mainstream media, being in that corral, They just end up being herded into another fear-mongering corral in the alternative media. So really, they haven't benefited or haven't gained any advantage. They're just going from one herd or one pen to another pen.
The animals in this book never realized that their rules, their laws were being rewritten. Their history
their
was being rewritten because they didn't pay close enough attention and they weren't educated enough and informed enough to know the history, their own history, the history of their little government and their rules and their laws. So the people today don't pay attention to the government and they don't pay attention to history. And so they never know what's happening again because they didn't know before.
Right.
They don't remember.
After the revolution, everything was very utopianistic, but as time went on, you saw that the tyranny set right back in, and you see these different techniques, the divide and conquering. You see the COINTELPRO.
You see people use the scapegoats.
Right, scapegoats. You see how religion is manipulated, and you see most of all, the biggest factor in this book is how fear is used to control the people.
Absolutely.
When we talked about Fox News last week, Fox News admitted that the best way to control their audience is through fear.
Right.
We said, when you look at the people in the alternative media, which ones are trying to make you think freely and which ones are trying to control you with fear? If you follow the ones that are controlling you through fear, then you're no better than the stupid, lowly animals in animal farm that were either being tyrannized by the farmer or tyrannized by the pigs.
Right. Blind allegiance, ignorance, apathy, they all are recipe for disaster. Another really great book to read is Bluebird by Colin Ross, which will tell you all about control through fear.
That's right. So, again, we're going to be on Frank Whalen's show tomorrow morning, 9 o'clock Eastern Time. We'll be back tomorrow with a radio version of Wing TV. This show will be up till Friday.
Right.
I want to thank everybody for their orders over the weekend, for dropping us a line, and just thanks for tuning in. That's why we're doing this show.
Read Animal Farm.
That's right. Until tomorrow, keep your eyes open because there's a lot going on.
See you then.